Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Magical about New Year. It's a fresh start. It's a good time, you know, to have that break and to go into, if you have some poor habits, it's a fantastic time to address them. Many of the most popular ones, of course, are eating well and exercising. Also, it's a good opportunity to start some new habits, as we talked about here this morning, perhaps, you know, getting into some better spiritual disciplines. And so as we were going into 2020, I really felt in my prayer time for this new year, I kept having this question that kept coming up. I decided that that's actually going to be the title of our series. Our first series here in 2020 is Am I All In? Okay, All In is our series here that we're going to start with. Now, when you think about that, perhaps maybe you've seen a movie. I can remember some of those old westerns. How many of you like those old western movies? They're always fascinating. You have the gunslingers who are sitting there, and there's always, you know, some high stakes card game, and they're sitting there, and eventually in a climactic moment, the guy will just, he'll push all of his chips to the middle and go, all in. And you're like, ooh. Can you think about that? What does it mean to be all in? It means, look, I'm not holding anything back. I mean, for this time, right now, for this moment, I'm choosing to not hold back. I'm not going to keep anything in reserve. I am going all in. And now, this is a tough question. If we think about this question, am I all in? I think it's one that we really should answer in terms of our pursuit of Christ. In fact, I really do believe that we do answer it, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. So during our Advent series, I referenced that understanding the significance of who Jesus really is to us demands a response. That was one of our main topics. And so let's look actually at that portion of Scripture. If you turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 through verse 23. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Going on to verse 19. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." So let's kind of break down kind of what's going on here. First of all, Jesus, in one way, if we kind of use our card game analogy, which I, you know, kind of hesitate a little bit here, but if we say Jesus is letting him know, look, here's who I am. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of God's plan. And because of that, I'm going all in. And this is what it means for me to go all in. I'm willing to go. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to suffer things. I'm even going to be killed. And then raised on the third day. I'm not holding anything back. I'm all in for the Father's plan. And Peter's response to this, of course, is, I don't feel comfortable with this. Don't you think you should, in essence, he's saying, shouldn't you save something back? Shouldn't you kind of hold back? Why are you going all in? And Jesus' response again is, it's a pretty powerful one, saying, hey, you're a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. So Peter shares, you know, this understanding of this reference to Messiah. He gets that Jesus is the Messiah, but what he's uncomfortable with is what the response to that truth, that fact is. Jesus tells them his eternal plan. He came to die for them. He's going to rise again, and this is a tough saying. He is all in. He's letting them know that the response, we're going to go on here in verse 24 to 27. Then Jesus told his disciples, and here's where he's letting them know. He's saying, look, I'm all in, and now here's what I want from you. If anyone, let's all read this together, ready? If anyone would come after me, now all means everybody. Come on, everybody, let's all start at the beginning again. Ready? Verse 24 here, ready? Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. So, I want you to understand this verse in context of what we just read. Remember context, as we talked several times last year. To understand a scripture, we have to look at the context of the scripture. And many people will read this portion, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it. We can kind of go back and understand the context is what Jesus was saying is, do you understand that I'm the Messiah? Who do you say that I am? And because of this understanding, because you get that I am the Son of God, that I have come here to do God's plan, you know, here's the response. He's saying, I am all in. I'm not holding back. Therefore, you shouldn't. I mean, how many of you like the logic? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. You know what I'm talking about there? He's kind of doing the same thing. He's saying, look, if you understand, you know, that I'm the Son of God, and here I'm letting you know that with that understanding, it means we're going to go all in. If you're going to follow me, you have to be all in. Not comfortable. Why are you starting off New Year's with this message? You see, if we understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and we understand that He is the Messiah, that He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, if He is who He claimed to be, if He is who the prophets foretold Him to be, I got to start this year by asking the questions. Does our life reflect that we understand this truth? It's a legitimate question. That's not me being grouchy. It's not me not getting enough sleep. It's not me, any of those types of things. That's a legitimate question for us to wrestle. Because the fact is that Jesus is who He claimed to be. He did fulfill prophecy. He performed miracles. He demonstrated His power over natural law. He raised people from the dead. And ultimately, He suffered and He died and He rose again. He was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. We have all of these facts. Now, knowing these facts, it's like looking at our cards, and again, bad analogy, looking at our cards and you see you got four aces or you have a royal flush. What are you waiting for? There you go. Thank you. If you have every fact of who Jesus is, what is response? 3 points for us with this understanding. First point is this. You are all in. When you think, wait a minute. You know, understanding this. Let's talk philosophically for a moment. Everybody in this room, I want you to know, you are all in. You are all in. We think, well, I don't think, I'm kind of lazy at certain things. Look, even the lazy sluggard who does not commit to anything is all in. But they're all in for themselves. Understand it. You're all in all the time. It's a question of what are you all in for? Maybe, you know, maybe you're not giving God 100%. Maybe you're just holding it all to yourself. You're still all in. You're just all in for yourself. Does that make sense? Because it's important that you get that point. Because as we just read here, as we just looked in Matthew chapter 16, there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to return and we're going to have to give account. So you are all in all the time. You are giving your all. It's just sometimes you're giving your all to yourself by withholding it. We're going to have to give account for how we steward what we have been given. And too many people, too many Christians really never want to wrestle this question because it makes us uncomfortable. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, Jesus tells us this, that I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak, for by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. That's a troubling scripture in a lot of ways, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've said some stupid things. Anybody else? Just said some just boneheaded comments. You're like, wow, why did that come? We're going to have to give accounts. Paul puts it like this. Paul says this in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. The apostle Paul says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, how do we process that scripture? In terms of what I'm telling you today, a lot of us are slaves to somebody. You know who we're slaves to? Ourselves. I was having a fantastic conversation with my son last night, talking about, you know, his major and different types of thing that he's doing. And he was reading, and now I'm forgetting who he was reading, but we were discussing the philosopher he was reading, and he said, talking about the difference of what's happened, he said, you know, that there was a time in thinking when with the way that society has gone, that we used to think it was virtuous for us to control our appetites rather than to satiate them. And now we live in a day and age where we think it's admirable to totally satisfy all of our appetites rather than rule them. So we are ruled by our appetites rather than we are creatures who rule their appetites. You understand what I mean? And it's what's happened here with our society. And what scares me is I see it happening within our church is many of us, we are slaves to our own whims. We are all in for ourselves. You are giving something your all, even if it means you're giving it to yourself. What are you doing with what you've been given? What are we doing? Which leads me to our second point here today, heading into 2020. And the second point is honestly just a question. Okay? It's just a question. And the question is this, and I want all of us to take a moment and just consider this question, just let it sink in. What would it look like to be all in for Christ? What would my life look like if I was all in for Christ? Because I dare say, I think it would, I mean, I don't want to be, you know, presumptuous here, but I think we all could maybe stand. I think all of us, if I look at my life, and I want to be really, really, really honest, there's still areas that I know that I probably have withheld. Am I the only person in the room today who deals with that? I'm just trying to be transparent. Okay? That's all I can do is be honest with you. There's still areas that I think I struggle with and I think I wrestle with. I was having a conversation with my wife and saying, you know, sometimes as a parent, I try to withhold my kids sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I talk to other pastors and it's hard at times to trust God in certain areas. And yet God presses us to those places. What would it look like if I was all in for Christ in 2020? What would be different? Before we get to a couple of other areas, I do want to just touch three quick ones, and perhaps it actually goes well with our offering comments here today. First of all, as we go into 2020, being all in, let's just talk some basic fundamental areas. Your devotional life. How many of you could say that my devotional life could use some improvement in 2020? Anybody? Oh no, we all writing our own commentaries. I get you. Sure, sure. Y'all work for the daily bread. I get you. Well, for those of us who don't, the bottom line is, yeah. So what are some easy things that we can do? First of all, a daily Bible reading plan. ABC. Easy, easy, easy stuff. Some people say, well, you know, it's hard to read 7 chapters a day. Then look, wherever you are, start somewhere. It's like the guy who says, well, I'm not going to go to the gym. Why? I can't lift 500 pounds. Okay. Well, you got to start with something, right? I can't do 50 sit-ups. Let's just work on one. Let's just work on one, right? There's no sense in saying that, you know, I can't run a marathon, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, don't run a marathon. Run a block. Walk a block. If you can't run a block, walk a block. And then walk 2 blocks. And then we can just go from there. But we got to start somewhere. And for every person in this room, it starts with some form of a daily Bible reading plan. Well, where can I possibly get them? If you have a smartphone, we've even told everybody, we encourage you to use YouVersion. It's a free app. You can download it. We don't track it. It's a fantastic app that has all kinds of Bible reading plans. It has thematic plans. It has Bible in a year. It has Bible in 3 year. All kinds of different plans. And they'll send them right to you. There's websites like Christianity.com. There's other devotionals, that go along with your Bible reading, such as, My Utmost for His Highest. It's a fantastic devotional. Oswald Chambers, fantastic devotional. There's a million different devotionals. We also offer in our newsletter. We have lectionary scriptures. If you don't want any of that, and you still just want a hard copy of something, in the back of your newsletter, we have those lectionary scriptures to kind of give you some ways to do. Take your sermon notes home and continue to read those things. But you got to start somewhere. Amen? So let's all start somewhere. I'm not asking everybody to run a marathon. I'm saying this. If it just means just walking out around the block and back, that's one. What else goes along with your devotional life is your prayer life. And that is something that we can do better. I'm always discouraged, other pastors and I, we talk as well. And it's something that we all kind of struggle with. If we have a dinner, we'll have 150 people here for a dinner. If we have a prayer meeting, we'll have a dozen. So we're going to start offering donuts at prayer meetings. No, that's not what we're going to do. Just blew our analogy. No, the deal is this. Seriously, we got to start somewhere. Your prayer life. So if you and I got to be honest, and this is something. Prayer, it doesn't always come natural to me. It really doesn't. Prayer is something that it's a discipline. I have to work. I know people who are really called, and they're fantastic intercessors. It's something I really have to work at. Okay? My prayers are often in conversations, and I talk with God on those things. And so some things that will help you if you struggle and you want to kind of get a jump start there is get a journal and write your prayers as a letter to God. And then keep them, and then look over them, and you can begin to see God being faithful. Okay? And by the way, a prayer is not a shopping list. Because that's one good thing about journaling your prayers. If you get done and you look at your prayers, and basically it looks like go to the supermarket and pick up this. Pay my mortgage, pay my health, do this, do that, do this, get my annoying people away from me, and give me $1 million, we got a problem. Prayer should be a conversation. And that's what it should be. Join a prayer group. We've got many of them here within the church. We've got many, and there's constantly people who are wanting to start new ones. The other one is family prayer, and that's a rough one. For some of us who don't have other folks in our families who aren't saved, that's a difficult thing. But we've got brothers and sisters in Christ who can come together. For those of us who do have Christian families, you better start raising your family. Come them together and pray together. We think, well, it's uncomfortable. I've told you this a million times. You know why it's uncomfortable? Because Satan doesn't want us to unlock the power of families praying together. I just feel uncomfortable praying with my spouse. Satan wants you to feel that. Brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, consider an increase in your prayer life in 2020. Consider it. When I'm saying consider it, make it happen. Make it happen. And another one is koinonia. Koinonia is so important. Our Christian fellowship as we come together. And here are some things here within the church that we'll offer. We have small groups. We have Sunday morning Sunday school classes. We have all kinds of different groups. There's an entire setting back there in the coffee area of different small groups that you can become a part of. There's lots of people who are wanting to start new ones, which is fantastic. And by the way, one of my best mentors early on gave me this lesson. He said, if you really want to keep growing in Christ, you need three things in your life. You need a Paul, someone to instruct you, someone to mentor you, someone who's a teacher. If you only have a Paul in your life, you're going to make them your guru, and they're going to become everything, and you're going to put all of your eggs in their basket, and that's not what God wants for you. You also need to have a Barnabas, a brother to walk with. You got to be talking to somebody else about your faith journey. But you also need a third thing, a Timothy, someone to pour into and someone to mentor. And if you do not have all three of those in your life, it's very easy to get out of balance. If you only have a Barnabas and a Timothy and you are unteachable and you don't have anybody in your life who can mentor you and give you instruction, you can get pretty big-headed now. Well, there's no such thing of that in the church now, is there? There's no prideful people in church, are there? Right. If you only have a Barnabas and you don't have a Paul and you don't have a Timothy, you're never going to reproduce spiritually. We need all three of those. And if you're saying, I'm in no position to mentor anybody, get in position. Because if that's the attitude the church has, the church will die in one generation. You say, well, that's not my job. That's a pastor's job. Okay? It's my job to equip you to do your job. And it is, in fact, your job because Jesus mandated it to all the church to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No. Those were only for pastors. You need to go read your Bible. No, it's not. It is a great commission of the church. And if you're part of the church, that's your commission. My job is to help you help do your job, not to do your job for you. Amen. Amen. All right. Great. Grouchy preacher. And finally, with koinonia, also is service. It's good for us to do good deeds together. It's good for us to give of our time, to give of our talent, and to give of our tithes. Oh, we knew it. There's a new building coming. There's only going to talk about money. You know what? We do need to raise some money. We do. We do. But we need to be doing ministry. It's about ministry. It's not about anything else. Amen? Yes. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6, because we're going to kind of wrap up with this portion of Scripture. We've got 9 verses here. Now, if we're going back here in Deuteronomy, we have this is the whole retelling of the law here. And Moses says, Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, just prior to this, they've laid out the Ten Commandments. We keep going. Verse 4. Let's all read verse 4 and 5 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That portion right there, in Jewish culture, they pray twice a day. It's called the Shema. It's a morning and a night prayer. It's again that's part of this, and it's a daily thing for us to understand. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your what? And with all your what? And with all your what? Verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit at your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign to your hands and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Okay, so for the next several weeks, we're going to be breaking down what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. We're going to break this down. We can't do this in 1 week. But as we go forward here, and considering again, we're just this kind of just setting up the rest of the series, as we consider that we are all in, just by nature, we're all in for something. And if we understand that what this means when Christ is going to us, if we are all in for something and we ask ourselves, what would it look like if we were all in for Christ? My final question for us is this. For what am I all in? What is it that you're all in for? What is it? For what are you all in, gang? What has all your heart, all your mind, your soul? What has all your strength, your passion? What is it? I want you to just think and meditate on that question so that when we get back together next week and we begin to kind of break this down, we can maybe get our lives into a little better focus. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I do praise you and I do thank you for your awesome grace that is here with us. And as we stand at the beginning of a new decade, 2020, wow. Lord, we can look back and definitely declare that you have been faithful in times past. You have been more faithful than we have, Father. And we honor you for your faithfulness. And God, we beseech you again. We ask, Father, on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our families, on behalf of this, your church, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your wisdom and guidance and provision. But God, most of all, we want to know you more. And we want our lives to reflect that. Lord, that when people look at us, that they would see you. Father, we understand that that's a tall order. And for that to happen, some things are probably going to have to change in our lives. And as much as our carnal man resists that, help us, Father, in these next several weeks as we go through here this foundational prayer, this understanding that we can love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Lord, help us to understand what these things mean. I pray, God, encouragement for the discouraged here today. I pray, God, for those who are complacent, that they would be challenged and shaken. I pray for the discouraged, that they would be encouraged. And most of all, God, move us forward in 2020, that just like doctors go for 2020 vision, that we could have a 2020 vision for our lives in you. We give you this year, Father, this new decade. We are your servants. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.